Welcome to the podcast, Coping Kit for Everyday Life. I'm Michelle Porter, and I'm here with my friend and dear colleague, Genevieve Lowry.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. We're super excited to get this started. And Michelle, I'm so excited to be doing this with you. We did spend a lot of time thinking about what to call our podcast. We wanted something that would speak to our child life people, but also something that connected to the larger community.
Yes, and that's where we came up with Coping Kit for Everyday Life. These days, we can really use a bag of tools to really help us deal with the both ordinary and extraordinary things that happen in our lives. We are hoping that our podcast is going to want you to want to share with us and learn more about how you can create your own coping kit by us sharing with you all the different conversations that Genevieve and I have had over the years, and really talking about how we use our child life skills to support children and families, ourselves, and each other.
Welcome back to Coping Kits for Everyday Life. It's so great to be back with you, Rochelle. We haven't actually talked in a couple weeks, and I'm looking forward to today's topic. We're going to talk a little bit about something that we both practice, and I don't remember if you were as reluctant to do this as I was, but I'm sure that I'll hear a little bit. I will get a little bit more information about that as we move into our conversation. But today we're going to talk a little bit about Reiki and Reiki energy and what that is and the ways that we have used it in both our child life practice. I think we have some pretty dramatic stories to tell about our experiences, but also how it's helped us not only professionally stay grounded and connected and energized in our professional work, but also in our personal lives as well. So I think what I want to do is just sort of start off with a basic definition, and then I'm going to toss it to you to maybe share. I mean, you could tell how we both got involved is kind of the same story.
But share our journeys and how we viewed that. I think we could share. And there may be a little similarities and some differences.
Yes. So Reiki, I'm going to quote from or take some words directly from our Reiki master, our Reiki teacher, Libby Barnett. What I really liked about Libby is that she was a social worker who had experience working in the hospital. So that really helped me better think about this in that framework. But Reiki is a very ancient, super old practice, and it's really grounded in the idea that everything around us has energy and everything living has energy. So the plants, the trees, the flowers, and that once you go through an attunement process, that you can become the conduit for that energy, that then we can pull that energy from the universe and that it goes through us. And that the person who is on the receiving end of that, and this is the part that I love in connection to child life practice, is in control of how much energy they need, how much they want, and how their body wants to use that energy. And that's sort of my framing of it. And it helps me think about it in a way that it connects really well to child life practice. So I'm going to toss it to you and have you sort of maybe share what are your thoughts about Reiki? How do you think about it? And what did you think about when we were first asked to learn this?
Well, when we first asked to do it, I was like, I don't understand this. I don't really get it. I'm not really sure. But, you know, I was like, all right, I'm willing to try. If it's something that could definitely help our patients and families and also kind of help myself, I was like, okay, I'm willing to try it. But I have to say, I wasn't quite sold on it. But I really didn't know a lot about it. But I do kind of remember like going through the tuning portion of it and kind of like something was happening there. Wasn't quite sure what, but something was happening there. And I think over time, when I was able to like do it at work and implement it with patients and families and seeing like how it did something that I was sold and wanting to do more of it. I think I had the great opportunity definitely to do it a lot with patients. I do remember a time. And I think we kind of talked about this in one episode, how, you know, we worked with sickle cell patients, we worked with oncology patients, we worked with patients a lot of different diagnoses. But there was one particular time where we did a Reiki circle and we actually all, you know, came together and kind of were touching each other and doing a full circle, touching the patient, touching each other and all that energy again. And what I like about it too, what Genevieve says, is like the patient will take in what their body needs to take in, what they want to take in. We're not in control over it. It was just really weird. Like when we all kind of removed ourselves, like we immediately felt a difference. And the kid was like, what's going on here? And, you know, kind of put our hands back on that. So I like just different experiences. I know for me, A lot of times if kids were going to procedures or, you know, kind of would do Reiki hands-on, because you could do hands-on, you can also do it and you can send it. But that hand-on technique is probably what I use typically at work. And definitely with parents, I think, you know, a lot of caregivers, a lot of times when they'll say they have a headache or just really just feeling like out of sorts, just overwhelmed, so many different things happening at once, sometimes I'll do Reiki in that way just to kind of help with that. And I find most people say, oh, you know, that was helpful. You know, they feel, because a lot of times, and everyone's a little bit different, my hands I've told get really hot. So people feel like they say they feel that heat. And that's comforting for them. So I think everyone can get something out of it. And I've also had people tell me, I don't see what's going on here. It's not really working for me. And that's okay too. And I think that's the great thing about it, is having different things that you can try to kind of help with someone's coping. But those have been like some of my experiences with Reiki over the years.
First of all, I love that, like, the story you just told was of the patient that came in. She came up from the ED. She was having actually neuropathic pain, which is very difficult to control. Pseudically, is that the right word? And she herself had been trained in Reiki also, because remember, not only were we trained as staff,
that's right,
but so were patients and families trained. And so she was trained, the nurse was trained. You would come up with her from the ED, because at that time we didn't have anybody in the ED. I think that's how, because you came into the clinic and it was you, me, the nurse, and this child. And we all stood around. And that was the moment. And I remember thinking, holy crap, this thing really works. Like, this is legit stuff, right? Because every time the nurse stepped away, the child would go back into writhing and sort of, you know, moaning, and the pain would just come back. And then every time the nurse came back, within a few minutes, the circle of energy would connect and she would stop. She felt, you know, not stop, like the pain didn't go away, but she could sense that the medication that she was getting was starting to work. She was not in such a heightened state. She could relax a little. And that was such a powerful moment for me that I was like, oh my God, this stuff's legit. And I actually ended up going on and getting Reiki 2 training, and then eventually went on to become a Reiki teacher. So I actually have taught people, and which is another piece that I really love, is the idea of teaching children and parents how to do Reiki, because I think it's so empowering for a parent to feel like they've got something they can offer their child, and something for that child to feel like they have something they can either offer their loved ones, because they're often on the receiving end. Everything's always being done for them. And sometimes I think there's healing and health and being able to give back to those who have given so much to you. And so being able to then offer their parent or their loved one, that also I think is really empowering to families. The other thing I love is that there's really no word to describe the energy. Like you kept saying, there's something here. Like, oh, I sense something. And it's funny because there isn't really a way to describe that. My hands do not get hot like yours. I know I have experienced your hands. They give me Reiki and they do get very, very hot. Mine do not get like that. But I feel in the palm of my hands, especially when I'm sending it to someone, I can feel this like intense, like pulling, this intense energy that sometimes I have to make my hands wider. Sometimes I can bring them closer together. Or sometimes when I'm putting my hands on somebody, I don't actually put my hands on them, but hover above, because the sensation to me feels so intense. And that seems to be enough. And I think for some kids and for some families, you don't have to be touching somebody. You can be hovering just above. You can have a barrier there in place. So young children use their own blanket, their comfort items, they're fully dressed. There's nothing weird going on. Like, you know, like when you go for massage therapy, sometimes, you know, you wear whatever, but this isn't like that at all. It's very much, there are no barriers. There's really very few things other than the patient saying no, right? And of course, they always have that option as well. So have you ever had times where someone has said, like, sort of not negated the experience, but have said to you, that's a religion, or no, we don't believe in that, or anything along those lines?
No, I don't feel like that's happened for me. I feel like I've had the opposite, where people, if I'm doing it, they kind of talk about how they equate it to their religion. The opposite way. I've never had someone say, oh, well, see it in that way. But I've had people feel like, oh, well, the energy may see it, feel like a spirit kind of situation. Uh-huh. But I've never had someone think of it as a religious experience. Not from my experience.
Oh, so I've had some families or even hospitals where there was a period of time where I was doing trainings at hospitals, and I've had some child life specialists reach out. And then when they went to speak to their administration, the administration say, oh, no, that's a religion. We can't do that. Like, we can't incorporate that in. And I guess I just want to make it really clear that Reiki is not a religion. It really is a science-based complementary therapy that is really great for really supporting families in non-pharmacological ways, which is what I think connects so beautifully to child life theory and practice, in that it can support bonding and attachment. It supports control and mastery, and children have choice. Even in my explanation to kids, I'll often say, you decide where you'd like me to put my hands. You decide how much your body, and you and your body determine how to use that energy, right? So, and that gives those kids back that sense of control. If you're teaching families, it can support their relationship, their attachment to one another. These are all things that child life specialists want to encourage and want to support. And so this is an alternative therapy, I think, that meshes or aligns with child life practice in a way that supports us, as opposed to creating sort of distinctions in you're something else and you're a child life specialist, or you're a child life specialist and something else. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I mean, it's, like I said, it's an alternative therapy. And I think the reality is we have different tools in a toolbox. So this is a tool that if you're trained to use, you can use it with patients and families, as well as, you know, in your personal life also. And I do like this thing of bonding, because I do feel like you talked about earlier, I think the one nice thing we're able to do teaching caregivers and the child how to do Reiki so they could do it on themselves. And also, you know, parent can do it to their child and vice versa. I think, again, that bonding piece of it. Sometimes you feel like you're out of control. There's things that you can't do. But I think being able to give people tools of things they can do to help themselves is so important. When there's a lot of things that are really just not in your control, but giving some of that back. Then choice, like you talked about, is key. You choose whether or not you want to do it or not. Some kids, I would say, hey, I'm going to do this. And they'd be like, oh, okay. Some kids are like, no, thanks. And that's okay. And I think that's the greatest thing about child life. I always tell, you know, students, and is that we're a choice, and that you have to, you know, respect that, you know, sometimes what we offer, they may not want, and they should be able to have some choices. There's a lot of things they can't choose, but whether or not they choose to, you know, have Reiki should be a choice.
Right. And as parents, so we are both parents, right? We are both parents.
Yes,
and as parents in our, in my own personal life, I mean, I can think of a million different ways that Reiki has really helped me. I mean, for one, that what you described earlier, that like when parents do feel that sort of sense of overwhelming, that there are times where I'm just like, I just need to stop. And I just need to go lay down for a second and give myself 5 minutes of Reiki. And then like my head is clear. I'm calm again. I go back. But even for my own kids, when my kids were little, sometimes they would just be, you know, sitting on the couch watching TV. And I would just come up and sit with them and put my hands on them and just sort of, you know, in hugging or holding them, be offering their bodies Reiki, right? Or times where they're at the table doing their homework and you could feel that frustration, I would just put my hands on their shoulders behind them and, you know, and say, hey, you know, is there something I could do to help you? And just sort of, you could feel their body just pulling that sort of energy source through me and into themselves. So then, oh, I can see, okay, I can see where their frustration was keeping them from being able to see their way through something. And so as a parent, I think it's a great tool, you know, for everyday life, really, that helps support us as individuals, as human beings, but also our own children. And, you know, it's become something that I've integrated into my daily practice. So when I meditate in the morning, I also either send or I give myself Reiki as well during my 10 minutes of meditation. Those two things are combined. They've sort of combined together as one thing for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely as a mom, I do, because my son was very little when I learned how to do Reiki. And I remember I used to do it with him. We'd have a little tummy ache. Mommy, put your hands on my belly. And he would ask for it. It helped him. And I think also for myself, a lot of times it's so funny, is that whole thing of like just putting your hands on your chest and just kind of relaxing, taking some deep breaths. I feel like there's lots of times where I'd kind of do that just to kind of center myself again. And same, similar to you. Cramps. Yep. Definitely using my brain cramps. Been helpful a lot of times with that, even with headaches too. So different ways. I think I continue to use it because we got trained. Oh God. 20 years ago, probably something like that.
Probably 20. Yeah. Something like
In the
90s.
I think it's like 2000. It was like 2000 something. Yeah.
2000s. But since our trade, we should just really call our podcast in the 90s.
In the 90s, you know, right? In the 90s, things are so different. But yeah, so definitely using that practice. And even now, you know, like I said, I still use it 20 years later. I mean, I didn't go on to do the master level. I still say I still want to be a master. So one day I think that is on my list of things to do. But I think it's definitely been something that I've utilized at work, utilized personally, and still use to this day, which is great. So much from that.
And I want to make a distinction between, you know, touch is incredibly healing.
Mm-hmm.
But the differences between Reiki and just touching someone's, holding someone's hand, stroking their face, those are all ways in which that parents engage with children, that we engage with our children, that, you know, you give somebody a hug, that is all really comforting, nurturing, healing moments, you know, especially for sick people who don't often feel like they're being held in that way. The difference with Reiki is this attunement process. And I want to make it clear because it's not just, you know, here, let me put my hands on somebody, right? And it
training
through this attunement process that makes you a conduit for the energy around you. So therefore, and I think as childlife specialists, I remember, you know, back in the 90s, when there wasn't Emla cream, there was only lidocaine that we gave locally for things like spinal taps and bone marrows. And I remember being in treatment rooms and, you know, we'd be in the treatment room and it might be 10 o'clock in the morning and we'd be in there. The kid would be really difficult. The whole, not the child being difficult, the situation, the scene was really difficult because the child is clearly in so much pain. You're confining them in that restricted position and you'd be trying so hard to like help this kid, take deep breaths, distraction, something. And there was just so much pain that it couldn't, right? And so when you walk out of there, you're completely depleted by that experience. And you're like, oh my God, it's 10 o'clock in the morning and I can't just go home now. Like I'm done. Like I'm exhausted from that, right? Because you give all of your own energy into that. What I found after I was trained in Reiki was that I didn't have that same level of depletion, right? Because I wasn't using my own energy to shore up this kid. I was pulling the energy from the universe, from the atmosphere, from the world around me, pulling that, and that energy was flowing through me and in a way energizing me further to then help and support this child, this parent, the staff in the room, you know, and that made a big difference in my ability to not be burnt out, right? To sustain a job that is incredibly challenging emotionally, psychologically, you know, and physically. To sustain and to stay in that profession for a number of years. And as a parent also really thinking and the own challenges in my own life, being able to not feel depleted by those, but to have a way to fill my own energy stores, right?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a good way of, you know, like you said, the work is challenging because we always say we're like, you know, a funnel. You kind of take in all that energy, but the Reiki allows you to not take out all your energy, but actually taking it from the universe to support yourself and also that patient and that family as well. Great point.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about the Reiki principles, because these are going to connect to what we ask people to reflect upon. So the Reiki principles are a part of Reiki practice in the sense that they were written as a way to sort of think about the ways in which that we interact with the world and with the universe. And so they are just for today, do not worry. Just for today, do not anger. Just for today, be humble. And just for today, be honest. And just for today, be compassionate toward yourself and others. And, you know, you don't have to practice Reiki to do any one of these things. Like you don't have to be attuned in Reiki to just really think about what does it mean to stop and not worry, to not be angry, or to consciously be aware of that. And what do you need to do for yourself to do that? Right. And so we're asking as part of our journaling or reflective practice for this week for people to pick one of the Reiki principles that you'd like to focus on at a time, just thinking about one at a time. And to practice what it means to not worry, to practice what it means to not be angry, to have compassion or to be humble for others. And then to journal about that experience and think about what feelings came up for you when practicing that principle. What were you grateful for? Maybe what came out of that experience even.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, the principles are really great. And like you said, you don't have to be trained in Reiki to do it. And I like that being in the moment, just today. So really focus on one of those just today. Pick one that kind of speaks to you. And then, you know, try the journaling exercise and see what you discover about that experience. We would definitely love to hear more about everyone's experience and their journal experience and, you know, what's coming up for you as you do this assignment. So Genevieve, which one do you think you want to look at this week?
I think I'm going to go with the top one just for today. Do not worry. And to really think about the amount of time that I spend with my brow furrowed, as you can see this line that I'm getting between my brows here, because I'm constantly, you know, just for today, not worry, and really just recognize that there is a saying in Reiki that there is the perfect unfolding, right? That things will happen the way that it should be, right? And I'm not a huge believer in, like, you know, destiny and fate and all that stuff, and, you know, that things happen for a reason, so to speak, because I do think that we have free will, but I also feel like there is an element of no matter what comes out of it, it's going to be okay. Even if what comes out of something may not be what you were hoping for or even a positive outcome, there's still something on the other side of that as well. So that sort of, you know, letting go to that, maybe, you know, not worrying. What about you?
Well, I'm going to go with being compassionate to yourself and others. I think I'll focus on that this week. Compassion, having that compassion. I think for others, but I think sometimes for myself is where I lack. So I think I'll work on that one. I'll practice that just today. And again, everyone, just remember, just today, just today, just think about today and what you're willing to practice and journal about it and not worry about tomorrow. Just today, be in the moment.
Yeah. That may be the biggest challenge of all, right? To be present in a moment.
Absolutely.
So we attached it in our notes. Some links. So there is a link to those Reiki principles. If you don't remember them after listening to our podcast, there is a link that sort of explains them and gives a little bit more information. We've also included a link to our Reiki master, our Reiki teacher, Libby Barnett, who she also wrote an excellent book. And I will put the link to that in our podcast notes also to her book. What I love about the book is that it's a really simple explanation about Reiki. And it's also connected for child life specialists to think about how to use that in the hospital setting. But I think it's open-ended enough for anyone to be able to use also. And then Pamela Miles, who really is a Reiki practitioner, who really focuses on Reiki and medicine and in traditional settings. So those are two really great opportunities for people to either learn more or to seek out training if they want as well. And you can always reach out to Rochelle or I through our email, copingkitforeverydaylife@gmail.com, to share with us what you reflected on that week or to get more information or to learn more about training opportunities. Otherwise, I don't know. Rochelle, what are you thinking?
I'm thinking the only thing too is that if you're curious about Reiki, there's definitely Reiki practitioners everywhere you go. So I would suggest also maybe possibly going for a Reiki session and just seeing, you know, what that experience is like for you if you're curious as well. And then maybe that will kind of help you to see if this is something that you want to learn more about.
That is excellent. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today and talking today about Reiki. And, you know, it's something that I will admit that I was apprehensive to learn in the beginning and tried to get out of, but have been forever grateful that people persevered to make sure that I got trained and taught how to do it, because I use it every day with my elderly parents, with my own children, and for myself. And I used it a lot as a child life specialist when I was working clinically in the hospital setting. So,
all right. So until next time, and please reach out. We'd love to hear from you.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Bye. Thank you for joining us today for our episode of Coping Kit for Everyday Life. We hope you take away something from this podcast that sparks your imagination or you discover a new tool for your coping kit. Remember to check out our resources and exercises in today's podcast notes. We would love to hear from you. Please share your comments, questions, or suggestions for future shows. You can find our emails in our podcast notes. Look forward to hearing from you.